Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us to this series of talks, A New Life with the Rav Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza. Hello. And we invite you to join us and listen to this talk we're about to have as part of our series of talks about health. And the topic that we chose today is one's internal forces, powers of healing. So, Rav Lightman, previously, we held talks here where Nitza and I represented a group of 10 people, just normal people from, you know, everyday that work and everyday activities and workplaces. And they have all kinds of ailments, and nobody can really find what's wrong with them. They get checkups, they get tested, but everything's supposedly okay. But still, there are a lot of things that bother them. So they've come here to meet you, and they want to learn from you about life, about pressures, about all kinds of things that have to do with health and ailments. And they want to receive from you this new perspective of life. So during this talk, Nitza and I are going to enter these characters, these 10 people that are studying from you. And Nitza is going to be have the role of the speaker, who's going to speak for this group. And the topic today is our internal powers. So maybe we can present the people in the studio today. We have a woman of 32, a mother of twins. She has increased pulse. She can't sleep. She's dizzy. She's overly fatigued for a year. We have a man of 45. He weighs 120 kilos. It's hard for him to breathe. His legs hurt. We have a man of 35. He's a high-tech engineer. For 5 years, he's been having repetitive back pains with leg pains as well, and it's been very hard for him to work. And he's also under pressure. I guess he might lose his job. A 38-year-old woman is suffering from very bad stomach aches, and though her checkups are fine, she's very scared because her friend got cancer, and she's scared of that. We have another couple here that are very fatigued. It's very hard for them. They don't even have the strength to go shopping. And two more friends who have all kinds of aches and pains all over their body, lack of focus, and they are very troubled about losing their sexual appetites. So like Oren said before, they all had checkups. For all of them, the checkups are fine. And still, they're going through all kinds of processes and treatments, and so they're sitting here with us. And in the preceding talk, we tried to think about what is going to interest them to hear from you. And the most basic thing that came up was that they are out of strength. They're tired. We're tired. So I tried to ask them what kind of strength. I mean, imagine you could go into some virtual shop and buy these strengths. What kind of strength would you like? So some of them said more optimism. Some said joy in life is what we need. And others said willpower. We feel like we don't have the willpower or motivation to get up in the morning. I don't feel like doing anything. So the first question is really, maybe you could give us a new angle from your direction about what are these powers that are in a person or are not? So, first of all, we need to understand that according to the statistics and what each of us sees, because you don't have to go very far, these symptoms that you're describing that they have, everybody has, even the house pets. And this comes from us being connected, interconnected to each other. And so there's a kind of viral phenomenon, and it transfers from one to the other and from place to place, from continent to continent. And everybody today around the world is finding themselves in this problem with functioning, with a lack of motivation and helplessness, not knowing what the reason for getting up in the morning is and why should we work hard or do anything at all. And so if in the beginning of the previous century, we were at the opening of this new world with technology, with the competition, with building this new society And each one who invested strength earned and gained and succeeded and prospered and also rose up in his own eyes and in the eyes of others. And everybody had the desire for this. And today, it seems that we have the same thing. It's not that you can't do anything in the world. Go ahead. But there is no motivation. There is no pull. Because what is it going to give me, really? So the problem is not the lack of opportunities. The problem is truly, as they say, I don't feel what for. It's an internal problem where one's desire has changed. One doesn't want to succeed anymore in the world, doesn't want to invest himself, and is calculating each and every act, every movement, and asking himself, should I or shouldn't I? Because it seems as if every act is not worthwhile. And then he just stays as he is, without any movement. What do we do? Well, there's nothing we can do. Either we go, get up, and do what we have to do, because there is no choice, whatever is absolutely necessary in order to sustain ourselves. And we go to doctors, because we do feel that we have to, but it's very hard. The happiness and joy I used to have for getting up in the morning just so I could earn my $2 an hour and to allow myself to go to the cinema or to some restaurant once a week to sit at the bar with my friends, today it doesn't attract me. I don't see that it's worthwhile for me to make so much effort for that. It's this internal fatigue in everybody. And that's, all in all, a worldwide phenomenon. So I understand, first of all, that none of them feels better or any easier with their symptoms if they know that it's everybody's problem, but we do see that it's something that troubles everyone. We have all kinds of pep-ups or incentives, and then maybe we want to drink some Red Bull or watch some comedies on the TV. Maybe the opposite. Maybe we need some calming drugs or that give you a little more optimism and seeing the future through pink glasses, or the kind of drugs that disconnect you from reality or give you more a boost of energy. We are searching what we can replace our lack of will or lack of desire with. And truly, it's not a lack of desire. It's that our desire has changed its quality. It's become... First of all, it's a desire in which we're interconnected. We're more tied together. It used to be that if I was some farmer or even if I went to work at a factory somewhere, I knew that I'd do my job. And today, we are so dependent on each other. In all of our media channels and in our internal connections, we give this spirit of fatigue, of tiredness, one to the other, and it spreads all over the world. Aside from that, there are really, truly great general problems that we're not aware of. There's radiation and the sun and air pollution and pressures. Man has become distant from the land, from nature, and he finds himself in some small cell in the city in artificial conditions. And really, except for the TV and the sofa, and there's a computer. Right, there's a computer, which is an issue in itself. He's in solitude. And here, I think, we need to take notice of this phenomenon. On the one hand, we're interconnected. On the other hand, we've built a world in which we can each hide and hide ourselves from others. And we don't have the natural connection to each other. We have a connection to some images that we see on the screens, we talk to through the telephones. It's as if I've closed myself off in some bubble through which I connect to others, also to my children, to my spouse or partner, also with my parents. Except for the places where I am truly in need of a mutual connection, there I say a few words, but really more and more people are living within themselves. And I'd say this is an illusion that we have, that we're not dependent on each other, because we're all tied to everybody else. But through this connection, through these screens, through the internal network that ties us together, all of us, we are all dependent on each other, and through that a person receives bad influences. And in our world, that presents itself as that is showing itself to be an integral world. We need to understand that this gap between our need to connect more and more correctly between all of us, and this lack of connection that we've created between us and built, this is what's causing this phenomena. So there's a saying that all crime shall be covered by love, and I'd say that all of these phenomena finally only love and the warm attitude will be able to heal them, to cover them. I'd maybe create a group that goes on vacation for a few weeks and plays games and all kinds of adventures together. And that there are all kinds of specialists that confuse them and on purpose release them from all of the problems in their life. Also, these people don't have problems. I see these 10 people as people who don't truly have any significant problems. They're all internal issues. And this is the way we need to do it, to develop a good connection between them. Support, love, a lot of games, touch, physical touch, which is so repulsive to a person in these modern times. Each one sits in their own car, in his own apartment, with his own desk, etc., etc. We have not noticed how we've actually built ourselves such private bubbles. And keeping our private space has become our greatest concern. So, therefore, here I think we need to aim them at this healing. And instead of creating these shows on television about politics and all kinds of things like that, I'd show these kinds of activities of people who are even sitting at home, each one with their TV or computer, that he could participate with that, that it could give him a kind of feeling that he's participating in the talking, and in a light, humorous talk with connection to everyone. And I'd invite all of them to all kinds of such activities in the evenings, on their days of vacation. And we'd connect to we'd get rid of all these problems for sure. Because all that's lacking for a person these days is to feel that he's connected, connected to others. And it's hard for him to go out and go out to people and advance towards that. Because our ego is pulling us inwards, keeping us safe behind our steel doors, our screens, our computer screens. So here we need to help a person do the opposite, to go out, to be outside of himself a little more, to be together with others. This is a very big problem. But I think that if we begin to succeed with that from group to group, let's say we take this healing upon ourselves of these 10 people that you brought, then and we'll put them into such programs, and they'll be also be able to advertise this well, and that's how we can advance. We see this phenomenon as a worldwide phenomenon. Desperation is the illness of the century, the 21st century. And if we could, in some way, through medicine or even through drugs and all kinds of trips, vacations that used to be so popular, if we could calm it, we would. But today, it's not possible. We don't have such possibilities, not financially, and also the medicine itself doesn't help anymore. No medicines truly help. Doesn't matter how much you raise the quantity, the dosage doesn't help. So this is what's left for us, and we shouldn't forget that all crimes will be covered by love, that this is really the only solution, the only cure. So we need to see that by that we heal not only these psychosomatic symptoms that they're suffering from, but with that we also heal all of society. And people who begin to be more correctly tied together, they'll also change society, and they'll change the state and change the world. So through this act that's seemingly not so important, it is the key to changing the entire world. I wanted to ask you about this illustration that you gave us. As one of the people in this group, in this workshop, Nitsa maybe will say how a woman feels this, but as a typical man, I identified very much with this image of a bubble that you illustrated. And I can testify that this is really how, this is the ambition, this is our aspiration. Mine, I'm talking about myself. This is really my aspiration. I don't want any people, I don't want any surprises, I don't want anything. All I want is, let's say this is my bubble, you illustrated such a picture, in my car, with my computer, with my desk, in my office, in my room. And this is what I want. I don't want that to change. So I identify a lot with... But there's a difficulty here, because even though I try to keep this bubble safe and closed off, I live in it because it defends me. It keeps me safe. It protects your ego, excuse me. Your ego, what else does it protect? What are you afraid of? It protects me. Yes. Because you're afraid of people entering your privacy. It's not a physical fear. You're not afraid of being harmed physically. You just don't want to let people into your own private space. Right. The thing I most identified with in your description is that I close myself off in a bubble, even off from my wife and kids. I talk to them and stuff. Also, children are demanding to each have their own room. Right, but put the kids aside, I'm talking about myself, and I felt like you were talking about me. So I feel that this bubble is the most comfortable place for me, the best place for me. Right, this is how our ego has evolved over our evolution, and suddenly we began to feel ourselves in these two opposite phenomena. On the one hand, we're all tied together, and each one is in a bubble. It's like you have a lot of bubbles, and each bubble is tied to the other and cannot be separated. We can't break this bond. So each one, because even my nagging neighbor who is living in his own bubble is interfering with my bubble. I'd kill him if I could. No, not really. But it's like he's interfering with my bubble, and so I hate him. Why? Because he's radiating into my bubbles these negative influences. You'd like to find the space. Silence. I want silence. But you want to have what you need the moment you need it by pressing a button. Right. Just on the internet. I don't even want to go to the shop. I want to know what's the cheapest, what's the best. You just want to press the button and for some door to open for everything you need to come out. Right. Today we have a two-day workday delay. Say my laptop broke, so I need to go get one. And I want to find everything that's the best through, like, just to type on my computer and for it to come to me and for no one to interfere and nobody to bother me. Okay, so I'm telling you, it's not just my neighbor. I feel even inside my family that I have my place where that's me. And the problem is the world doesn't agree with it. Well, my little bubble that was supposed to be my little paradise. What's bothering you? I don't know. It's like people are invading into it. All these interferences. And let's say you didn't have any disruptions. Would you feel completely serene, good, calm? I think so. That's the aspiration, isn't it? I want to be calm. Well, maybe you'd suddenly feel that something is missing for you. That you are left completely alone. There's just complete silence. There may be some nice music in the background that you like. And depression. What should I do? No? Yeah, that's what's actually coming up. And if I'd go out and walk around and be integrated in all these people and on the beach, in the great stores, I'd become confused. Well, I don't like it, but some people do. Maybe you'd go to the soccer game, God forbid. Well, maybe 20 years ago. Where will you escape to from your depression if you feel it? People do this. Well, this is exactly my problem. Otherwise, I wouldn't be in this workshop with you because my bubble is cracked. No, it's not being cracked. You're building it. Right. People are invading it. Something is invading into it, like viruses of computer viruses. Not your neighbor, nobody. From the inside, you begin to feel things. What's going on? Disturbances, right, exactly. So, you see already that you have a phenomenon here that is completely different. That maybe you need... Maybe you need to break out of your bubble because this depression that you feel, even though you're alone and still, this is completely finishing you off. Or do you feel that it's making it easier on you? Look, sometimes I have good interactions with people, which are nice. It always needs to be in the right limits and in the right quantity. Right, you want to control it. Right? So the problem is not how much you're... is when you're with other people. The problem is that the connection between everybody... is so that people don't really participate with each other, that we don't transfer the spirit of livelihood to each other. You're only using one force in nature, the will to receive, and that is the problem. Because all you want to do is absorb, receive as much as it is good for me and comfortable for me. Everybody has got to give to me. I'm willing to pay to them because there's no other choice. This is the world. But up until now, we've all only wanted everybody to give to us and leave. And then you don't have the second force, the force of giving, from which you can enjoy without limits, which also balances you with the world. And according to nature, if you don't use it, then you are out of you. It turns out that you're blocking yourself because you receive and you don't release it, you don't give to others. Our bodies can't operate in this way. Look at all our systems, our internal systems. How balanced they are in the way they function. Giving, receiving, contracting and releasing. Our breathing systems, the heart, all the parts. Everything works according to plus and minus. Once like this and once like that. Each time in balance, in harmony with of these two opposing forces. And here you're only using in your internal forces this one force of reception. And this is impossible. You are blocking yourself. You're closing yourself off. Okay, I receive. Everything's okay. I receive some more. Everything's okay. No, you're not releasing. You're not giving. I'm not saying you have to give to the world without any limitations. What are you doing for everybody else? It's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm asking. I'm talking about what you need for yourself in this very egoistic manner that you also need to feel that you are in harmony with others. To give and also to receive and also to see that in your giving you are receiving, that it's for your own good, for yourself. I know my wife that before she had her grandson, she was very bored. She didn't have what to do. She has everything. She has an apartment of her own. She lives alone. Our daughter, even though she doesn't make that much, she has her own apartment. And when she had a grandson, wow, suddenly she has life. And if I ask her, are you tired? I'm willing to say thanks from morning till night for him existing. I have who to give to. I have what to live for. There's no depression. Before I was bored. So you can see it from people, but there it's natural love which pushes a woman to bestow. And here we need to develop it. But to develop it in such a way that one will receive it as part of his healing. And in a general support from the environment, it will be easy for him to do and pleasant. For that, we need to build this general environment so that we'll have the influence of the environment, so that people will feel how much life and spirit they get from that. Otherwise, you're only constantly receiving, and by that you block yourself. And that's why you don't feel like you've received anything anymore. If once it used to be easier for you because you worked. Together with others a little more. Let's say 50 or 30 years ago, where people were less closed off than they are today. you would communicate mutually with all kinds of systems, with people, with your neighbors. People were closer. Like you told us about where you used to live in the country, where there were no fences or walls between the houses. People were more open. They didn't even lock their doors. Soldiers wouldn't lock their kit bags in the army. Today, each one has a complicated lock on their suitcase. So it's like that in every place. A person is killing himself when we're completely connected in the integral system, and we're becoming more so every day, because before it wasn't like that to this extent, even if we were more connected, because life was more simple, so we were more connected, but also the system wasn't so integral, it wasn't so mutually dependent on each other. And today, the dependency between countries, between people, between everybody, this mutual dependency together with our individualistic tendencies that have gone up, they are the ones that bring us to this stress, this tension between these two forces, between these two states of connection and disconnection, in such a way that we've strangled ourselves. And it's this blockage that we need to open. So we need to give a person to teach him, to help him out of this misery, of this state where he finds himself. And to give him all kinds of exercises through all kinds of activities and events where he can connect and identify to give to others more and more and express. And this has nothing to do also with all the kinds of activities that they usually do, all kinds of picnics in the parks, or in the masses. You see that each one is within himself. You don't see this natural approach that we used to have before, where people were closer to one another, more simple, in more open relationships. This is a problem. We need to give this to the entire world. We need to give the world a new approach. And a lot of activities, guided activities. But if we're talking about these 10 people that I am seeing before me now, I think that we need to do workshops with them. Workshops where they'll develop this connection, maybe between them, even though they came here accidentally and connected to some group, but it's not a group yet. But let's say we need to connect a group according to all kinds of other rules. But let's say these 10 people. And to get them talking, maybe cry and open up their heart. We don't need to talk about the most internal, private things, but a little bit more to feel that there's somebody to talk to. And more than that, with them opening themselves up in this way, they need to understand that by that, that they don't solve their problem. In this group of 10, to the extent that they can do this between them, they need to go outside and organize these things for others, because we're all connected to one another. they need to understand this impulse and feel it, how we work and how we open ourselves up. To what extent? Until I can hug the entire world. As a woman, I like to understand and also to feel. And when you talk about these forces, then I feel days in which I have no motivation. In general, I don't have power. I don't have willpower. So I came to this workshop to see how can I get this strength back? How can I get them back? By giving to others. Give, and then. But I give to my family, to my kids. No, you're not giving. You're actually receiving. So what's the difference? What kind of giving are you talking about? This is not giving. This is inside your own bubble. It's not giving. So what kind of giving do I need to do in order to get these powers? You need to connect to strange people, to strangers. You need to go out from yourself and to take care of others and nourish others. Your kids and family aren't strangers. It's yours. It belongs to you. So my concern for others will bring me my strength back? Of course, even more than that. What do you mean more? What are these strengths at all? Well, the moment that you begin to give others these strength from yourself through all kinds of activities and connections and workshops, by that you begin to feel that it comes back to you. Even people who go to help in hospitals and all kinds of places, it's not exactly right the way they do it. But let's say they still receive a lot of energy and strength from that. A person who dedicates himself to service of others, he receives a lot of strength from that. He has a lot of self-confidence, self-respect. He puts himself in this positive energy flow because aside from him just receiving, he also gives. There's this inner circulation. He's not blocking himself off. All of the desperation is because I'm in my own room, in my house, in my apartments, because I've blocked myself off. And when I go outside, I feel life because we're all as cells in this one general system, and I need to transfer it onwards. And this is something that I'm not doing, especially today, where you cannot work. A lot of people receive some help from the country, from the state, and that's it. They sit at home and do nothing. And then it doesn't give it all. He only receives. So what does this giving do? It gives me a good feeling that I'm doing something good? Or is there some other force here that you're talking about? This giving heals you. It opens up everything that's blocked in you. Everything that was blocked inside you by receiving all the time and not letting anything out. Now it also opens up and you can there's circulation. And by that you heal. Emotionally, and also physically. Certainly, all of our overweight problems and blood pressure, it all changes. All comes from the circulation. Yes, we need to be balanced in all our systems. And these systems that belong to the human level in us are the most important ones, and they reflect the lack of balance onto all the lower systems. I've noticed that this influences my thoughts. When I don't have willpower, it influences my thoughts. Is there a connection between my desires and thoughts? Of course, a person is also an integral system within himself. Of course. What do you mean? Also from the bottom up and also from the top down, all of our systems are tied together. If something hurts, then your thoughts are only on that. We cannot disconnect ourselves from the pain. And if there's blood pressure, that influences everything else. Everything is connected and influences everything else. So here, when we're talking about systems, these higher systems in humans, it will completely heal him, undoubtedly. I'm sure that all illnesses, and by the way, also they say this about cancer. One needs to drink wine. He needs to have fun, to go on a trip. He needs to enjoy himself. Everything possible. And that is part of the healing. I remember now that in one of these workshops I participated in, I was told that the power of thoughts, of positive thinking, is very strong, that if I have optimistic outlook on life, I'll feel much better. This is certain. But I'm not able to create positive thoughts on my own. On your own, even if you put on music, you begin dancing. Yeah, maybe for a few minutes I feel better, but then because you lack support from outside. So what comes first? First my feelings influence my thoughts, or first my thoughts influence my feelings? I don't understand what I need to do here. You need to take action, and the actions will influence your thoughts, and your thoughts will influence your physical state. Thoughts are the highest level in the body, because this is connected to our computer that operates our entire body. So if we organize it correctly, in the correct flow, comfortable flow, then of course all of the other systems will work properly. Okay, so you said that actions will influence my thoughts, which will influence my body. No, actions will influence your thoughts, which will influence your entire body. Yes. I'm not talking about activities like sport activities. I'm talking about connection activities. What's the difference, Nietzsche is asking? Well, sport activities influence your body physically. Our actions, activities, our social activities, they'll influence your thoughts. And these positive thoughts of bestowal, they will also help heal the body in the lower systems. Many times I see that there are people around me, friends, that they have this emotional stability. It's like they have a lot of strength, and I am envious of them, because how much strength does that take from them? How much internal tension does it take from them to show themselves as if they are strong and secure? How much? I don't know, I didn't check. But it seems as if it comes naturally to them. They have this stability, this internal power and strength. They work as if their battery never ends. And I feel like my battery, I don't even have any air left. I'm working on empty. If people are more simple, more primitive, if their internal life is very short, or they belong to such professions in which they appear before a crowd, like a musician, they're rarely depressed. Because they get strength from the audience? Yes, because they get the strength from the audience. They give while they work. Teachers, lecturers, all kinds of people who teach. There are these types of professions in which, in the profession itself, a person becomes one who bestows. And that's a little different. The profession keeps them safe and makes them, forces them to do so. If naturally, through their profession, they have this ability to use this energy of giving, where the heart is more open and warm, their approach is warmer, because the action that they do, it pulls them to this connection with others, to this participation with others. Whereas the normal person, like we said, that has his own car, his own, my own apartment, my own phone, my own place, me with myself, So he's miserable. He's more susceptible to all kinds of problems. So even if we check according to professions, I think that people who work with audiences, with the public, they feel actually they should. I don't know. I haven't seen the statistics, but they should feel themselves a lot more healthy and with better mood and better physical health. I can give an example here. Oren's mom, late mom, she worked in a kindergarten and she had cancer for 11 years. And even though she was almost in her deathbed, very close to it, if she could physically, I really don't know how, she could drag herself from her bed to the kindergarten. It was like a shot of life. And between us, I think that she was able to survive it for so many years. And I'm talking about 30 years ago when medicine wasn't so evolved as it is today. Again and again and again, she was able to take strength from these things. And it was very easy to see that when she went to the kindergarten, it's as if it was like a life support. And if not, she didn't have it. So the question is, how can we use this principle and also this illustration that you gave, that a person is blocked off, that is only receiving and he needs to release? There is no circulation between all of people, all of humanity. We're strangling ourselves. And this wasn't felt up until a few tens of years ago, because the world did not close itself in this integral network yet. Once it became so round as it is today, this is why all these problems began, of cancer and eruptions of these problems, of depression, terrorism, divorce, all kinds of problems like that. It's all because of the lack of connection, the correct connection in the integral system, which wasn't needed before because the system wasn't so interconnected. Then we had capitalism, we had competition, and each one did whatever he felt was right in his eyes. So I'd be glad, with all of these amazing insights he taught us in this conversation today, if you could translate them into a workshop that we do here between us. You said before that the path, the way in which we can help a person out of these blockages is to have a person begin to talk a little bit, to open himself up. You said on the level where you can put a little emotion in it, maybe for have people cry a little bit, to open up. Well, look, there are such things. I've heard of these circles where people talk. Yeah, well, I've also been through such things, all kinds of discussions and workshops, and I worked in a school of holistic therapy for 3 years. I used to sell such workshops. I've seen it all. But I'd really like to receive from you a first activity for us, for me and Nitsa and the eight other people here, so that we could exercise to a certain extent how we can release from this bubble. A little bit. How can we begin to discuss a question, to think about, challenge us, lead us to this first activity that will cause what you've described before? Well, I don't know where I'd start. We need to think about the level these people are in. It's like you've taken 10 people off the street. Okay, so let's do it like this. Everything that's inside me that's bad, how would I divide them? blood pressure, depression, being overweight. What other problems do they have? Back problems, fatigue. Let's say I have 9 symptoms. And there are 9 people here. So let him take away my back pains and him to take away this and this and this and this. Let's do it. Let's do it. Have us do it now. Us, here. Let's do it now. I look at them. And I say out loud to everyone, I pass to you, Nitsa, my back pains, and to you, Oren, my weight. You need some, right? Yeah, I need a little bit. And over there, it's blood pressure and depression and more and etc. I give it to others. I'm not ashamed of saying this. I say it completely seriously. I pass this to you. I connect to them, right? Yes, it's very egoistic. It's not very nice. But yeah, just like you say about your neighbor. You'd give to him all of your problems. But I invest myself in this. Meaning I do this with all my heart, as if I'm truly getting rid of it. That it depends on that. Yeah, I send my problems to everyone. All of my problems. Unpleasant, right? Yeah, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. But it's true. Good. I sent it to you and I look in your eyes and say, from today onwards, you take my back pains. Okay? Wow, I'm afraid. If there's fear, there's fire. Right, if you do something like that to me, I would activate some defenses, internal defenses, send some missiles onto you in my thoughts. Some, all kinds of missiles. Okay, talk like that with each other. All 10 of you, say that to others. But once you said that, I'm already in pressure, under pressure. It's because, what do I need to do? I understood. You were the first to say this, and then we also need to say this, right? Yeah. So when you're talking, what kind of mode of thinking do you need to be in? I don't know. You feel whatever you feel. I felt pressure. You're giving me your problems. I want to go home. Good. This is how we're truly connected to each other. This is how we are interconnected. Very simple. This is why I said it. If I say something very cute, let's smile at each other, lovey-dovey, that's nothing. I heartfully transfer all of my problems to those who are sitting before me. All of you bad. That's bad inside. You're evil. Well, 10 people won't be enough for me, but let's say. Oh, so maybe you should do 2 rounds until it's all done. Okay, so I have a speaker in this role play. I have the speaker, the one who's talking now and transferring. And each one has to do this. Okay, now we've sat. And we did this, we felt the things, that whatever we felt, right? We finished with this. This is the way we truly connect to each other. Afterwards, tell them not to begin with. But when I give it to others, I have to do this with all my strength. Not because I hate someone, but because I hate my illness. And I give it, I have to share it. There is no other choice. This is the exercise. You have 10 symptoms. You have to now share them with everybody else. It doesn't matter who. I don't care who gets it. Let her be even fatter and for you to be thinner. It doesn't matter. I don't care. That's it. So then this is how we truly subconsciously relate to each other. In this openly egoistic, natural way. If we are interconnected, then what we all feel together each of us feels. This is called that we're transferring virally all the illnesses and problems between us. This is the way it happens all around the earth. So now what do we need to do? What do you think the next stage should be? This is the exercise that we need to do with these 10 people. What is the next stage? This is what we should discuss? Yeah. Maybe I would send everybody medicine now. The same medicine against my back pains I give to you, right? I'll tell you where to buy it, you go buy it. Is that what you think? No, I don't mean for that. I came with one illness. Now I'm leaving with 10. Okay, so let's say that we've given away our illnesses in such a way. So now let's organize everyone to send these presents of healing. Do you understand what state each one is in now? A horrible state, because on the one hand I released it, but I became even more ill. Because people gave me a lot more than I had before. You had tail illnesses, now you received 100. What do I do? There is nothing you can do. You're already dead. Right. There's nothing you can do about it. Do you understand how we increase each other's problems? In our natural, in the way we naturally relate to each other. How do we heal by that? This is the example how we can virally make each other sick so that each one gets over 100 illnesses. So how can we influence each other positively? Until you become used, as opposed to that, to understand that they are all with you together in one system. And whatever you think negatively at others about others, it comes back to you, not tenfold, because you're in this huge system here. In this network, until you understand that it comes back to you in a way that it destroys you, you won't understand that you have to treat them well. And you have to do this to force yourself, because you naturally treat everybody badly and think badly. Let everybody die. What do I care, as long as I live? I sometimes see myself in the dream that I am alone in some city. When I was a kid, I remember that. I go into all kinds of toy stores, and there's nobody else, just me. I walk the streets, and there's nobody. The cars, the bicycles, a store with toys for kids. I go inside, everything is mine. There's nobody else in the city. You didn't have such a dream? I did. I even have it till today. Ah, poor thing. Or the opposite, I don't know. But it's like that for everyone. This is our true ego. We don't want to have anybody else in the world and to have everything for myself. I'll be the ruler. This is how we naturally think. We need to think, in order for us to think positively about others, we need exercises. We need to see actual death before us. And then, if we mutually help each other, by helping each other, by that, we'll be able to influence each other positively. We need to learn how to do this. And we need to build this good system in addition to the bad system. Otherwise, we'd kill each other. Our time is already almost up, so give us just one sentence to think about until our next meeting. How do we build this corrective system in addition to the system that we've just demonstrated, the right natural way that we, the true natural way that we relate to each other? So how do we build a correction for that? Thank you very, very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you to you for being with us. Until next time, we'll think about how do we build such a corrective system. All the best and a lot of health.